Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Did Zach LaVine get snubbed by not being named to the Eastern Conference All-Star Reserves? And if you could only add one more player, would it be LaVine, Derrick Rose, Bradley Beal, or Eric Bledsoe?
I think that he did not get snubbed, frankly. I don't believe that Zach LaVine has had an All-Star type season. I think that, unfortunately for him, his team's no damn good, so it's hard to be an All-Star on a bad team, and I think that's what we saw. So that applies to a lot of the people on this list. You know, Bradley Beal, how many 30-point games has he had this season? He's pretty good. I think I might add Bradley Beal. I mean, Bledsoe also has had a really good time, and Derrick Rose, the games in Chicago. So I think maybe I would take those guys over Zach, but I think Bradley Beal might be my guy.
And that's just in the East. When you look at the West and Devin Booker was left out, you start to wonder what were they thinking, and I think it was what you just alluded to. They wanted to take players off winning teams, and that has to be it because, you know, the provincial answer is, yes, he got snubbed, Zach LaVine, but I don't know that that's the fair or accurate one. You'd like to see him rewarded for his, you know, consistency in January and the fact that he is the best player on a bad Bulls team, but that ignores the reality that Bradley Beal deserves to be there. 28.5 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He's shooting 45% from the field. And Elias, according to the Stats Network or the service, this would be the highest scoring average entering the All-Star break in 41 years that did not earn an All-Star bid. He's the guy at the top of the list of snubs. Zach LaVine is probably behind him, maybe competing with Derrick Rose, maybe Eric Bledsoe. But I think that obviously Bradley Beal is a guy who, when he says after the game last night that he was disrespected, and I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I would take Beal on there. And related to LaVine, I think the accurate statement here is they went with guys from winning teams. David, I think you just mentioned something of this fact. But you look at what teams these guys play on, and I'm just on the list here. Philly, Toronto, Miami, a second Miami, Milwaukee, Indiana. I mean, these are teams that are winning teams. Boston with Jason Tatum, I didn't get to either. And the Bulls are just, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but it is not a good team right now, the Chicago Bulls. And Zach LaVine will suffer for that. He is the best player on a bad team. The game is here. I think if the game was not here, we would have had much less debate about that because I don't think a lot of people around the league think that
you're right.
LaVine was an all-star this year.
We want him to be in a game that's, you know, down the street, his home court.
I'm not too broken up about it. I don't think he's a huge snub. I think what I was thinking about earlier when I read this, it's kind of like he's one of the last four out, you know, like around tournament time, there's the last four in, there's the last four out. He was close, but he wasn't quite there. And he's kind of in the same boat as Bradley Beal. I know Beal is averaging a few more points per game, more assists, but fewer rebounds, and he's not good from three. So call that a wash. They're both on terrible teams. If either one of them got in, I wouldn't have been upset about it. But I do come from that state of mind where I think that if you're on a better team, you're having a better season. And that's a lot of that's due to the talent around you and coaching and the culture, quote unquote culture, whatever you want to call it. But I would take a guy like Malcolm Brogdon or Jaylen Brown or Tobias Harris on a winning team over a guy like Brad Beal or Zach LaVine, who are on terrible teams. Somebody's got to score on these teams. I mean, if it's not going to be Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine, it would be somebody else. So give me somebody on a better team other than a guy who is, you know, 15 games under 500, taking 30 shots a game.
It's outrageous. Jerry Reinsdorf has to be so ticked off at the NBA right now to not have a Bull represented. But there's bigger problems with this All-Star game. I mean, it should be the West versus the East. And I, at this point, I'm all for Zach LaVine to just go, you know what? I'm just going to go to Vegas. I'm just going to go to the Caribbean. I'm just going to go to the Bahamas.
No dunk contest.
Give me a break. You know, go pound sand, NBA. I mean, they have fouled this, you know, while trying to do something nice. I think they have fouled this thing up even worse. I mean, if not Zach LaVine, then Mully, you had the guy. Beal is a dynamic scorer, and that's what this game is all about, right? It's about showboating and scoring, so that would have been the replacement. But to not have, and I get it. I mean, how many, there's going to be, we'll say, for the sake of this conversation, 19,000 fans, air quotes, in attendance. How many Bull season ticket holders do you think actually have access to that game? Maybe 500? Maybe 500? But that's a middle finger to those 500 fans, okay, to not at least have Zach introduced and on the team. But then it's not the East, it's not the West, it's the Greek Freaks versus the King Jameses, and ugh, it's so confusing.
That is an unbelievably great question.
Greg Olsen and the Panthers parted company Thursday. Should the Bears be interested in the tight end? And if Olsen came to Chicago, would Cam Newton be more likely to follow?
I thought Greg Olsen was going to retire. I thought that he is mic'd up, and he had that very emotional moment on the Panthers sidelines with his teammates. I thought, and his coaches, I was surprised at this development. I thought he was going to walk away and leave Carolina and walk into the broadcast booth, maybe Monday Night Football booth, maybe, you know, CBS to replace Tony Romo. Who knows where he could end up? He's going to be a very good broadcaster at one point in time. But if he wants to play football, I think you want to see what he has left. He's 30. He'll be 35 in March. That is old. You can play old. You can play into your later 30s, I think, if you're a tight end. I don't know what he has left. It would be some football symmetry if he were to end his career with the team that he began his career with after they traded him away. But let's look at the Bears' tight end position. Last year, 36 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 366 yards from about 5 or 6 guys. They don't have an answer there. Greg Olsen, as limited as he was, he played 14 games, 52 catches, 597 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has missed 18 games over the last 3 seasons because of injuries. But if you know if you're not in a position where you have to pay him a lot or rely upon him a lot, and he has interest in coming back to Chicago for a swan song, I think you want to see what he's got. There's not a better alternative yet that we know of. They want to go out and sign a high-priced tight end free agent? Okay, maybe. But he could provide depth, and he would be a good influence. So I would think that, yeah, take a look. And if Cam Newton wants to come because Greg Olsen is here, take another look. Take a good look, because you don't have an offense that you can trust.
Yeah, I think that what you're talking about are both. In both cases, you're talking about guys that have had injury-shortened seasons in 2 of the last 3 years. For Newton, it's the last 2, and for Greg Olsen, he had a couple of injury-shortened seasons, and then he kind of had a bounce back last year. But, you know, he's had foot problems, and didn't he rupture a plantar fasciitis? That's scary. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what physical condition he is in. You're right. He's better than any of the tight ends the Bears have. But that's, you know, aren't there a lot of people better than that?
It's a low bar.
And it would be a short-term type of solution. But having said that, I think that it would come down to money. You know, how much money does a guy like that want? Because he made a ton of money, right? I mean, he just finished up a 2-year, $17 to $20 million deal. So I would be surprised, and that's not even the high earning end, but I would be surprised if they invested that kind of money in that position, unless they make some sort of a salary cap move someplace else. So I don't think he's coming back here. But and the other thing is, I would never sign a player to get another player, right? Didn't we learn that? friends and family plan, so I would not try to reunite him with Cam Newton.
What about the other way?
If you wanted Cam Newton, then go get Cam
Newton. What if it happened the other way? They signed the way, Cam Newton.
Yeah, and Cam Newton's 30.
I know.
So he's a lot younger.
But I guess
but he's a lot
the question could be structured the other way. If the Bears get Cam Newton, would they be more likely to give Greg Olsen an opportunity to come?
Now I'm on board because there's a chemistry between the two players and all that.
Yeah, maybe
that,
one has to come before the other.
That would make a lot of sense if you put it that way.
I read this question, and I think immediately of another older tight end up north of us here, Jimmy Graham. Nowhere close to what he was in his prime, but it's like he's still good. He could still play. Even as a slower, older player, he's still a good player. So I would be for this. I like Greg Olsen as a player. I always have. It's obviously a very terrible trade, one of the worst in recent memory for the Bears. But you'd have to go in this knowing, like, listen, you're not getting prime Greg Olsen. You're getting older, slower Greg Olsen. But he's still, I mean, you read his numbers earlier, David, right? 50-something catches last year?
Yep.
That's still way better than anything the Bears had. I mean, I'm pretty sure he could beat out Jesper Horsted in training camp next year. So if this happens, sure, bring it on. On the cheap, clearly, they would need to do. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Trey Burton, with Adam Shaheen, and I don't really want to talk any more about Bears tight ends, but sure, Greg Olsen, come on down.
Yeah, he'd be an upgrade, and by the way, since you mentioned the trade, they got a third-rounder for Greg Olsen, right? Does anybody remember who they took with that pick?
Oh, boy.
Ron Gilbert.
Brandon Harden from Oregon State.
Good old safety from Oregon State.
Yeah, that was...
He could not run.
No, well, he couldn't really get on the field at all.
He never played a game.
Yeah, that was quite a brutal pick. Sorry, thank you, Espo, for jogging my memory.
Yes,
I had to double-check on that one. Greg Olsen is older. He is beat up. He's been through the ringer. He's been around a while. Molly, you bring up some of the more serious injuries he's had to, you know, the lower body, which I'm told is pretty important. It would be an upgrade over the cavalcade of tight ends that they have here in Chicago currently, but takes two to tango. Why would Greg Olsen want to come play for the Bears when I'm sure other teams, playoff contenders, Super Bowl contenders, would be interested in him?
To position himself for a post-NFL career, maybe in a market.
You can do that anywhere. You can go to the Patriots. Okay. I'm sure they'd be interested in a tight end.
There you go. That's not a bad idea.
No, I'm just saying, you know, he'd be fine here, and he would be an upgrade, but I just don't think that because he played a few years here, a million years ago, that he'd be so gung-ho about coming back. So, you reach out, and you see what the money's going to be, and you talk to him for sure. You have to do that, but I just don't think that this is a very attractive option when you look at the guy who's going to be throwing him the ball.
I don't think it's about money anymore, and I think,
please,
David, you brought up a good point. I think it is about the post career, and I know we did dip our toe in this yesterday about markets and stuff, but you know, Greg Olsen is not Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Patrick Mahomes needs to play in a certain type of market, but Greg Olsen, to Kevin's point, that was feels like 100 years ago that he was a Bear. And no offense to Charlotte, it's probably a great spot and there's great golf, and I know they've got a great sports talk radio station down there run by a buddy of mine. But, I mean, it's kind of who, what, where, when. I mean, he's kind of lost down there. And I know that he goes on Fox when they have their bye week. I know he wants to be a broadcaster in his post-NFL career. So coming here wouldn't be the worst thing. Also, New England would make a ton of sense because they could, especially, you know, who's going to be throwing him the ball might be a big part. Where's Tom Brady going to play? Is he going to play in New England? Well, then maybe he would want to go there because they obviously needed a tight end too. So it's TBD. If he ended up here, sure, but you can't invest too much more money in that spot.
Best thing about Charlotte, their AAA baseball team, of course.
Not anymore.
What?
All those players are up here.
Oh, well,
in Chicago.
I still like them. They got good hats.
Wah, wah.
Come on. I mean, that's a pretty general question.
If the Bears are serious about making the Super Bowl next year, do they have to upgrade their quarterback room? And if so, should that player come from the draft or free agency?
Yeah, that's interesting because I think you just kind of answered it by asking about Cam Newton. The Bears need somebody that can play. I don't know that finding this year's Gardner Minshew is going to be finding a guy that can play, right? I mean, you got to kind of get lucky. Don't trade up. Whatever you do, don't trade up. I think that they are really bereft of draft picks. If you're going to draft a quarterback, do you take one in the second round where they have two, or do you wait till later in the draft? And if you wait till later in the draft, who are you going to find that is going to be able to really be a serious backup immediately in the NFL? So I would answer this question by saying yes. Yes. I would draft one, and I would try to find one on free agency. They got to get a free agent guy in here, right? They have to have someone that can get you out of a game and they can win some games. If you're going for that, then you may as well find someone that can compete a little bit too. What's wrong with pushing a guy? You can still want your guy to be the starter. You can give him every advantage, but there's nothing wrong with having someone that can push him. And the only way you're going to do that is through free agency. So go ahead and feel free to sign one and feel free to draft one.
Let's face it. The Bears cannot say no to any possibility when it regards the quarterback position this offseason. And if they do, they're foolish, and they're not doing their due diligence. They have to be open to any and all possibilities.
But they have to sign one.
They do. They do have to sign one.
I mean, as a free agent. They have to bring someone
without question. Yes. Your starting quarterback that you anointed already is in recovery. I mean, he's got his left shoulder in a sling, probably. And I hope that he recovers and Mitch Trubisky gets back on the field. But Mitch Trubisky healthy on the field doesn't answer your question at quarterback. That is the misnomer. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about, well, when's he going to be back in, you know, when's he going to throw and when's he going to be at OTAs and all these things about the timetable. When's he going to be good? That's the only timetable that matters. And until that question is adequately answered, they have to sign a quarterback in free agency and they should draft one. And if they want to draft one in the second round, I would be all for that. I mean, I like Jake Fromm from Georgia. Is that a little high for him? Maybe. I like Jacob Eason. You see him projected in the second round. I don't know if that's, you know, too high for him. We don't know about these college quarterbacks, but I do think that they've got to explore signing one, drafting one, and then having all three of those guys in that room because you need to upgrade the most important position. That's the biggest question for this offense.
Yeah, no more Chase Daniel, no more Bray. We desperately need new blood in there. And as they've already said, Mitch is their starter next year. I don't get that. I think at this point, last year, absolutely, he comes in, he's unquestionably your starter. After everything that happened in 2019, I would not have been as bold as they were coming out in that end of season press conference saying Mitch is our starter. And I'm sure there's diplomatic, political reasons why they did that. You don't want to get the young kid upset. I'm sure they still believe in him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But fact of the matter is that he has not earned that, you know, unequivocal starting job. There's a lot of free agents out there. Cam Newton, we just talked about in the last question. Lord knows we've heard the name Andy Dalton on these airwaves plenty of times. There's a lot of veteran guys that are going to be out there. And you got to draft a guy, and you're not necessarily hamstrung. You mentioned Minshew. He was, what, sixth round? Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Jimmy G was a second-round pick. Yeah, I mean, there are guys out there that you can develop into good quarterbacks. The Bears have to hit on one. And once upon a time, a certain GM said he was going to draft a quarterback every year, and he hasn't done that. So it's about time to start doing that.
Boy, is Mike Glennon available? What's his contract situation
with
the Raiders?
Did you know that?
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Not, I mean, the Raider quarterback you want.
No, maybe the other Raider quarterback, maybe the starter for the Vegas Raiders.
Derek Carr, come on down.
Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, names that aren't going to completely fire anybody up, to borrow another pacism there, but names that I think would be upgrades.
I beg to differ. I think if you get Derek Carr, you can talk about this team going to the playoffs.
I like Carr. You know, and he's had a couple of really good seasons there. It would be interesting to see him in a different situation, in a different offense with, you know, some pretty decent weapons here. I think maybe some of the weapons were overrated when you look at some of the seasons. You know, guys like Cohen and Burton and Miller at a lot of times last year. But a lot of that's down to the quarterback as well. And you don't know that how much or how important the quarterback position is. You know, his crappiness can, you know, project onto the entire offense. And I think we saw that a lot of times last year. So Carr, Dalton, I mean, Bridgewater might be a little too expensive. He probably played himself into a better contract than the Bears can give him next season. And then you got to draft one as well. I think, I don't know if they're going to do both. They probably won't, because then that probably knocks Mitch down to second or third on the depth chart, and they certainly won't do that. But if they go into next season and they didn't draft a quarterback and they didn't get one in free agency, either or, it's just one or the other, That is going to be such an indictment on this front office, and I think it would put Ryan Pace on the hot seat if he went into another season with zero legitimate competition behind Trubisky.
Well, again, if this is a if there's still a championship defense up there in Lake Forest, then I'm not worried about drafting a guy. Okay, it's about getting somebody either in a trade or free agency or whatever to not only compete with Mitch but to supplant Mitch. Okay, Mitch can sit there and watch and let his shoulder rehab for the entire 2020 season for all I care, if you believe in this defense. Okay, I don't want to hear, David, with all due respect, the Georgia quarterback.
What? Yeah, okay.
He is going to be a guy that carries around a clipboard for a decade.
Decade?
He's got Chase Daniels written all over him.
Come on.
The question's going to be at the end of their career, who got more money? Okay.
All right, I'm marking this down.
Okay. That guy is a
He
is a clipboard holder, visor wearing, fat check collecting backup. Period.
Wrong.
And against the Frommer.
Yeah, why not the Frommer?
He always picks a guy.
Hashtag anybody but him.
Yeah, I think he just became my favorite quarterback prospect.
Good. We'll see. You played at a higher level.
Go
too.
Dogs.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
Who are you taking in the Super Bowl, and what is your projected score for the game?
I've got to be first. Is this question strategically placed here so I make the first pick? All right. I'm going Chiefs. I have tried to talk myself into going with the 49ers because of the way they play, and I love the physicality of that team, and I really like the idea of Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, being the guy who wins this game. I like a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo, and there's a good story there, Kyle Shanahan, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to stop Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback in football statistically against zone defenses, and once they start to try to play some man and be aggressive. I don't know who they have that can match up speed-wise with Tyreek Hill. And if they do that, I don't know who that stops Kelsey. And if they do that, I don't know who stops Sammy Watkins. There's just too many weapons. And I think the defense will hold its own. I think it will be a higher scoring game than maybe the 49ers can keep up. And it will be 34-27 Chiefs.
Do I get to go last? Because
I tried to talk as long as I could so you could.
The way the question was presented.
You're thinking.
I'm struggling with this pick, and I have told you I may well end up flipping a coin. I think it's that close. It's really hard. But for the purpose of this program and because you picked the Chiefs, I will take the Niners. That helps me make a decision. I'll take San Francisco.
Then you can't pat yourself on the back if you're correct because you're doing it just because David.
No, I'm going against the public. That's all I'm doing.
No, he's thinking that I'm going to be wrong, so he's going to be right.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That too. No, I don't purposely pick against him. Look, I've been trying to find a reason all week to pick the Niners. In case you haven't been listening. And I can't help it. I like physical football. I like power over speed. I think the Chiefs are extraordinary, and I hope they lose because I'm taking the Niners.
Guys, I have thought about this as well, and I have no
score. Wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. This is important. Okay. Score. You need a score on the game.
27-26.
I'm going to take the Niners. I thought and thought about this, figuring this was going to be something we were going to talk about this morning. My gut, I wanted to take Mahomes and the Chiefs because I think he's the best player on the field. I think he's a ridiculous talent, and I think he's a huge difference maker. And then I think back in Super Bowl history, and I think, you know what? In games like these, it's normally the team with the defense that wins. It's not always the flashy quarterback or the flashy offense that wins the Super Bowl. It's usually the team with the better defense. And I love how the 49ers play ball. I think we're all guilty of that, right? It's old style Bears, you know, glory days football. And I think we all kind of identify with that. But that notwithstanding, I think that Niners defensive line gets in the backfield, pressures Mahomes. I think the 49ers make enough plays on offense, that running game, and with Garoppolo to win this game. I will take San Francisco. And obviously, if San Francisco is going to win, this, the style of the game is going to have to be to their style, right? It can't be up and down the field all the time. I'm going to take San Francisco 27, Kansas City 24.
Well, as you guys know, I don't really think too hard about anything. I usually go with my first instinct. I'm kind of like an animal in that regard. I go off my instinct about my first primal Whoa. Thought that has entered my mind.
And we're not talking about the weekends.
Scary territory here, friends.
Talking about football.
Coyote Kevbo.
And in this instance, I right last Sunday when the matchup was set, I thought the Chiefs would win all week long. I thought the Chiefs would win. I still think the Chiefs are going to win 27-16.
You said Chiefs 27-16, huh?
That's right. Mark it down.
Low scoring game. Interesting. Chiefs 33, 49ers 20. I feel generous giving them the 20 points. I don't think Jimmy G gets it done. Jimmy G will be the reason why the 49ers can't hang around. And again, I can't not put my chips on the best player on the field at any point in the game, and that will be Patty Mahomes.
Ask the president of Finland a question, please.
If the Chiefs do win the Super Bowl, what player other than Patrick Mahomes will be the game's MVP, and who will be the MVP if the Niners win?
Okay, so I think if the Chiefs win, there's no other player that can be the MVP. If the Chiefs win, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. The you know, to answer the question, I would say maybe if the tight end catches four touchdown passes or something, Kelsey could get it. Or if Hill catches four touchdown passes or something. And that, to be honest with you, when I break down this game, I don't like the back end of San Francisco's defense against the speed. That bothers me. So that's one of the reasons I was hesitant about making my pick. But I think if the Niners win, I think you've got a lot of different possibilities. I think that it could be Dee Ford. It could be Nick Bosa. It could be some sort of like the Bears with Richard Dent. A representative of a great defensive performance. Jimmy Garoppolo would obviously be the first guy you'd think of because quarterbacks usually win that award. But I think George Kittle could be a guy that could have a big game, and everybody would love to see that happen. And I think that there'll be a certain amount of love given to him, whether he makes an impact catching the ball or not, because you know he's going to be blocking like a maniac. And I think that's how they're going to win the game. So it's going to be one of the running backs. And I don't know which one, because I don't know which one they're going to feature. But if the Niners win, I think it's one of the two running backs.
I think if it's not Mahomes, it's going to be Tyreek Hill. I just don't see how the 49ers, as good as they are defensively, they're going to match up with him. And he's going to break a long one. It could break the game open, and he could have a big day. So if it's not Mahomes, and I think it will be, but it'll be Tyreek Hill. If the 49ers win, yeah, it'll be because of the defense, certainly. So Bosa is a good choice. But I do think that if they win, it will be because Jimmy Garoppolo did not lose the game. And it would be because he did something extraordinary. He's capable, too, because when you look at – they did beat the Saints. The one thing that people are overlooking about this offense with the 49ers, yeah, how limited it is.
Big. They beat them big.
It's 48-46 in New Orleans, and Garoppolo had 349 passing yards, four touchdowns, and 131 passer rating under hostile conditions. He's capable of having a game like that. And if he has anything close to that, the 49ers will win, and he will be the MVP. So that would be the scenario I would see them beating the Chiefs, even though I think the Chiefs are still going to win this game.
Yeah, I don't see how if the Chiefs win, it's not Mahomes, because if the Chiefs win, you got to figure that means they're going to score a ton of points and he's going to be throwing the ball. I mean, they don't run the ball. That's pretty obvious at this point. But I would say Tyreek Hill only because he also plays special teams. He could return a kick, whatever. Kelsey is the other guy who popped into my mind. If the Niners win the game, I like the defense thing. I like the running back thing. Do we really think they're going to do Raheem Mostert again? I mean, that was in large part because Coleman got hurt early in that game.
Right. I think he's healthy now, right? So right. Tevin Coleman could be the pick.
Which is amazing. Think about it. Guy could barely get onto the cart at the time of the injury last.
Another local story.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman. And I got to say, though, but if the Niners do win, I would not be surprised if it's Bosa. I would not be surprised if it's Dee Ford or Armstead or any of those guys up front. It would be great to see Garoppolo. I got Garoppolo staring at me everywhere I go. My daughter's basketball practice is being held in the school where Garoppolo went to elementary school, and I see his picture everywhere. It's like, all right, local story. One of those two. I'm gonna pick one of the local guys with Jimmy G or Coleman.
Well, if you have to see his picture everywhere, at least he's a handsome guy. I mean, it could be a lot worse, right?
He's a very handsome man.
We could all agree on that, except for Dustin.
Yeah,
maybe.
Dustin doesn't like Jimmy G.
Yeah, tall, dark, and handsome is not Dustin's type, apparently. I think that since the Chiefs will win, and I think that they're going to...
Happily married, thank you.
They're going to get ahead early, forcing the Niners to put the ball in Garoppolo's hand. They're going to force him to try to pass and make plays. I don't know if he's going to be capable of doing that. I think the MVP is going to be my guy, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. He's going to get a couple of picks on Sunday. He's going to run one of them back, plus 6,600. I just looked it up, so if you want to throw a few on that... You know, I've got no betting experience whatsoever.
Like,
but if you
pick.
Want to,
yeah, it's a good
trying
one.
To think outside the box here.
I mean, that's fun, and that would be like an unfortunate Super Bowl result. That means we're going to see a game like we saw last. Like it would be like a Chiefs like 14-10 win, and the deciding factor was a pick six returned by Honey Badger to basically seal slash win the game. It's the only way that can happen. If you like the Chiefs, it's Mahomes. If you like the 49ers, it's probably because Joey Bosa is going to keep Mahomes under wraps. Okay? So that's it. That is
only
really
two
it.
Chances.
Listen, okay. Listen. I lay any money that there's no chance in the world, and the tape can come back on Monday and for my entire rest of my existence here, no, Jimmy Garoppolo will not be the MVP of Super Bowl 54.
Yeah, save it, Kevo. Make sure you tape that because that could be a lot of
no
fun.
No shot.
Ray is on it already.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Now I'm cheering. Now I'm all over the Niners, and I'm hoping for a big game from Jimmy G.
I bet you are.
Hey, it's the 5 and 5. It's Mully and Haw. 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
5 and 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.